morning, everyone. Today, Sunday, September 4th, Reverend Coyle is out of town. I'm filling in here. I have some help from Lay Minister David Merrick, Sensei, and I'd like to have him give us his Dharma glimpse for today.
Good morning. This is a interesting Dharma glimpse for me. I've contemplated this topic a long time and decided to share it with everyone this morning. I call it Songs in the Key of Buddha. Oh, a few months back, we were out in California at Kobosi's, and I noticed the cover of Tricycle magazine, and it had one of the cover stories was Walk Like a Buddha. And immediately what came in mind, in my mind, was a song. And I'll share that with you.
You look like an angel. Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel. But I got one.
And right away I thought to myself, you know, what is this that I see these things and I hear music, and I thought, well, this is a really interesting part of my studies, and that everyday things could in fact be really fun reminders. And so I shared this with someone else that was visiting also, and they immediately I said, you know, what song does this bring to mind for you? And they immediately thought of a different song in their head. And they were going with the Bangles on Walk Like an Egyptian. So I liked this theme, and I thought, what interesting different ways that the Dharma and the teachings come to us. And so it got me thinking, what songs actually directly speak to this that are instead of just the reminders, are actually have the teachings in them. And the classic one that, of course, comes to mind is Kansas's Dust in the Wind. And it's about impermanence. It's about dreamlike reality, you know. There's parts of the song that aren't directly Buddhist, but when it talks about the moment and the moment's gone. So I was reminded of the next song when we were studying the section on koans, and there was a famous haiku by Roy Okan that for some reason the next song always reminds me of autumn, and the haiku is maple leaves falling down, showing front, showing back. And this song always reminds me of autumn. And when I think of autumn, it's my one of my favorite seasons. I think of that maple leaf. Then my thoughts turn to ways and lessons from our music that remind us that the exact same situation can both produce joy and suffering. And one of the things that we as humans share is in the anticipation, in the anticipation of something that we think is going to be delightful, or something that we're not too, you know, fond of looking forward to. And again, the music helps us and reminds us of the lessons. So I started to think about the Dharma Glimpse this morning and what songs, you know, that remind me of the Dharma and are just welcome reminders of this. The more I studied, the more of these coincidences happened. And I wanted to think about, are there artists that actually purposely and that write and sing the songs of the Dharma. And to end my Dharma Glimpse this morning, I appreciate everyone staying with me on this. I'll read a bit of this artist's song, and then I'll play it in its entirety. It is brief, but it starts with, "Chop that wood, carry water. What's the sound of one hand clapping? Enlightenment. Don't know what it is. Every second, every minute, it keeps changing to something different. Enlightenment. Don't know what it is. It says it's non-attachment. I'm in the here and now. I'm meditating. And still, I'm suffering. But that's my problem." And I'd like to share with you the artist who sang this, Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate everyone here this morning listening to my Dharma glimpse and sharing some of the songs that remind me of the Dharma every day. And my fantasy is that sometime today you'll hear a song and think of the Dharma. Thank you.
Thanks so much. That was really great. I love listening to those songs, and there are a lot of songs we should probably start collecting that speak the Dharma to us. Thanks a lot, Dave Sensei. Since Reverend Koyo is out of town today, I was hoping he'd be able to call in, but he did pre-record a message. It isn't related to the Dharma glimpse today, but let me play it for everybody. It's called Messiah is Coming.
I want to talk about a story I heard from a Unitarian minister. I really like this story. I think it's a great teaching story. It goes like this. There was a monastery. I don't know what kind of a denomination it was, but, you know, Christian monastery. And the monks are human beings, and they squabble among one another. And so the village, I guess they didn't set a very good example for the village. And so the people did not hold the monastery or the monks in, you know, very high regard. And so the monastery did not prosper, not a lot of donations coming in and so forth. Things were getting pretty bad. So they had a big meeting, what to do. And they invited elder teacher from another, you know, another monastery, a wise man, as sort of an advisor, sit in, see if he has any suggestions as he listened to all this discussion. So they aired out everything and they discussed everything. Now, they did not come to any particular resolution. And so the meeting sort of broke up, and as they were leaving, one of the leaders asked the visiting teacher, "Well, any advice or anything?" And the visiting teacher said, "Gee, well, I'm sorry, I listened, and but I really don't have any suggestions or anything. I don't know what to say." And then the teacher said, "Oh, but one thing I do know is that sometime in the future, the Messiah is coming. And one of you is the Messiah." And he left. So the leader shared this information with everybody, and they all thought about it. And in the days to come, each one didn't know what to do about this. They said to themselves, each monk said to himself something like, "Gee, the Messiah is coming. That's great." And he says, "One of us is the Messiah. Who could it be?" Each of them thought, "Well, I know I'm not the Messiah. I wonder who it is." And then, as the days went on, each one of them having this in the back of their minds, things started to change. Each one of them said to himself, said, "Well, let's see, who could it be? Well, maybe it's Brother John. You know, he's pretty learned. He spends a lot of time studying. Before, I used to think, gee, he's studying all the time and he's not helping out in the kitchen. But maybe that's his gift. He's studying the teaching so that he could be knowledgeable and share the scriptures with us. Maybe Brother John's the coming Messiah." And another monk says, "Gee, I wonder who the Messiah is. I know it's not me. It can't be me. Maybe it's Brother Bill. I don't know if there's a monk called Bill. Maybe Brother Bill is the coming Messiah. You know, he's so patient and understanding. We used to always complain and say, why don't you assert yourself and be more assertive in everything? You're too gentle. You're too understanding. You let people get away with everything. But isn't that what a saint or a messiah is all about? Gee, I've been misjudging Brother Bill. You know, he's really a good example. Maybe he is the coming Messiah. And another monk says, oh, gee, I wonder who the Messiah is. I don't know. He starts looking around, thinking and observing things. And, oh, maybe it's Brother Bob, Brother Robert. He's such a pain in the butt, but that's a challenge for us, isn't it? He's always challenging us. Isn't that what a teacher's supposed to do? Putting us on edge and making us sort of uncomfortable, taking us out of our comfort level and pushing us and challenging us? Maybe Brother Robert is the real Messiah. So you get the picture, you get the idea here. Everyone looked at everyone else with different eyes now. And they became more understanding, seeing things in a wider perspective. They didn't seek to be understood. They understood others. The relationships became more harmonious. Everything started to go more smoothly. Things went well. More harmony. Monasteries started to prosper. The people noticed this. What a fine monastery. And things recovered. Well, this is a teaching story or a fable, if you will. But the moral of the story, the teaching here, I think is something to be taken to heart. It's not so much, you know, close friends or family members, those that are around us every day. It's not so much, gee, if only they would shape up, or if only they, you know, were more understanding. This is our human nature. We have to rebalance ourselves when we get knocked off center. And the way we do this is contained in this teaching story. Saying, gee, I should be more understanding when something happens, instead of saying, I'm getting irritated or annoyed by my spouse or my siblings or whatever, and my ignorant friends. They're so slow, they don't understand what I mean. Well, you don't explain yourself maybe very well. You assume too much, etc., etc. If we saw things from a wider perspective, not just our own narrow self perspective, we said, oh, well, how do I interpret? How do I frame? What context can I put this into? Why do I have to react from a framework that says, hey, the expectancy is like this. We should challenge ourselves. We should say, hey, the teachers are all around us. The teachings are all around us. Even when it's the annoying things and the irritating things, it's not, those things aren't out there. Those things are not the problem. It's how we respond to these things. That is the problem. If you want to put it into a format or a structure, you could say something like, X is not the problem. How I try to deal with X is the problem. This is a tremendous statement. X could be anything you want it to be. Domestic relationships, losing a job, bad health. Things that happen. Things that are unavoidable, no matter how skillful we are, confident, clever, something's going to happen, X. And we'll say, gee, if only I had better health, if only I had more money, if only I married somebody else, if only I had this kind of job, if only. No. X is not the problem. No matter what happens, no matter what X is, it's how I deal with X is the problem. This is a tremendous thing. Because when you, the former case, when you said, if you think X is the problem, something outside of you is a problem. Oh, man, this happened. Oh, man. You know, that, when you think that X is the problem, and you have no control over X occurring, then your feeling is of hopelessness almost, of powerlessness. That really leads to despair, anger, all kind of negative things. But simply saying to oneself, oops, wait a minute, take a breath, centering breath, if you will. X is not the problem. Hey, did that Dharma teaching go something like that? Wait a minute, X is not the problem. How do I deal with X is the problem? Just that verbal restatement, how I deal with X, empowers you. Well, if that's the case, how I deal with X is the problem. That's the thing I got to be concentrating on. Not why did this thing happen, or why didn't something else happen, or et cetera, et cetera. You say, well, what can I do about this? That's the key thing. Then you are empowered. Your feeling is that you have some responsibility here. You could do something about it. Well, let's look at the options. What's going on here? It's a 180-degree turn. This is something very simple, very fundamental. But it's so simple, so fundamental, that we overlook it. This is sort of what we might call an attribution error. Where do you attribute the cause of things? And when you think that that cause is outside of you, and we're talking about life, that's a mistake. And that's why our own attitude, that's why self-introspection is the Buddhist methodology. It's not looking to some all-powerful force, supernatural being out there to help us that we have to placate and ask for help or do something that asks for good fortune and chance to Lady Luck to shine on us. But it's being understanding. And that understanding might be that things don't always go our way and that it won't turn out the way we want. And we can't make it that way internally either. We can't delude ourselves. And when something's bad, say it's good just because we say it's good internally either. Don't make that mistake. I'm not saying that either in sort of an unrealistic sense. Well, we will not try not to compound the problem by blaming solely on X. Yeah, we have to do what we can do, and sometimes we cannot fix it up in a positive sense, but we have to take it. We have to understand it. We have to understand what's going on and what our mind is going on. Okay? The goal is not peace of mind, but it's just our understanding our mind. And that gives the kind of peace. We don't aim for the peace. We just understand the reality of things. And that's where the acceptance, transcendence teaching comes in. We don't say, well, I guess I'll accept it because that's going to lead to a good thing. You know? Truly understand causes and conditions, accept it sincerely, genuinely. Then, in the reality sense of things, we have transcended and we keep going. Okay. Well, we don't objectify that process itself and say, oh, okay, well, where's the payoff? I did what I was taught to do and what was right, and where's the payoff? That gets perversion there. So sometimes the same road that leads to heaven and hell, it's the same road. Be careful. But this is the teaching when we know that the Messiah, Buddha nature, is in every one of us and ourselves too. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Koyo Sensei. And thank you, Dave Joyo Sensei, for your Dharma glimpse. And I hope everybody has a Buddhaful day.